Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Office has been going around doing these FAFO audits or calculations over the past couple of months, just trying to explain to people how your local government is taxing you to the hilt. We think that they are excessively spending and wastefully spending to the tune of billions of dollars. Now, your local governments are going to come out and say that, no, we can't do that because we're going to have to cut fire, we're going to have to cut police. That is just absolute BS.
So this is CFO Blazing Goley, former senator, state senator. This is Wednesday's press conference, but it has become such a big deal. This is him with the governor talking about the DOGE. Not the report, because we don't have the report. What we've got is their claims about what the report contains, a couple of highlight notes, and we still don't have the actual thing to look at, which I continue to say is a big problem since, you know, how can we verify the work? How can we check out the details and the nuance of it? We're just left to trust the claims. The problem is, they say, local governments and counties and cities, like Pensacola, for instance, or like Broward County or Orange County, are wasting money on all kinds of ridiculous, frivolous things. The examples that they have, the specific line item examples that they have given, are things that are very small portions of the overall budget, kind of the same way that the federal DOGE threw out these, you know, incendiary small examples budgetary-wise and then claimed that that was the reason why everything was a mess. On the other hand, they're claiming, again, here in Florida, that, you know, billions and billions, up to $10 billions of dollars, at least a billion in five counties that they can identify, are being misspent or overspent, not because they know that this particular item was overspent or misspent, but because they look at 2020 budget volume and they look at 2025 budget volume and they say, well, based on the rate of inflation, you should be here, but you're actually there. And so therefore, we know that you're wasting people's money, and that's why we want to promote property taxes. Now, I think that's a terrible methodology, because you really would have to look at the individual cost of buying a firefighter or buying a police car or buying a control arm or for a, you know, traffic signal or repaving a street. You know, things that are very expensive, or buying the services of a CDL driver because you have a waste hauling service, right? I mean, it's one thing to say you should just go back to pre-COVID. It's another thing to actually be able to go back to pre-COVID. And I, for one, watching as a conservative, caring deeply about keeping taxes low and keeping government spending in check, I'm very sympathetic to the local administrators and city managers and folks who say, Andrew, this is preposterous. We're barely managing to get things done now, and we're trying to scrape by in as little as we possibly can, and we're value engineering everything we do in order to cut costs, and then the governor comes in and the CFO come in and say that we're just wasting money left and right. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sympathetic, because I've followed the budget negotiations on a lot of these items, and I don't know how you would manage to hire all the things you have to hire on an even reduced income. So, but that's the fight, okay? And since we don't have the work to look at, we don't have the report to actually look at, we can't verify the claims or not. But some very interesting things have been said in this conversation. Perhaps the most interesting is this.
Let me be clear, and this is probably more for the cameras and people listening to my voice right now. If you are a city or a county that is planning on putting a tax referendum raise on the ballot in November 26, expect a knock on our door from us. If you are a county or a city that raised their millage rate a couple of weeks ago and actually raised property taxes on people this year when people are hurting, you can expect a call from our office.
Well, so I guess they're coming back. Since, you know, I don't know if it would qualify as a property tax increase, but, you know, ECUA raised rates. The Escambia County School Board did a property tax increase. The Escambia County Commission did not an ad valorem property tax increase. I think there was actually a cut on that, or a rollback-ish on that. But what they did do is impose a higher fire fee, which is a property tax increase. Santa Rosa County cut taxes, so they might be okay. Gulf Breeze allowed the county to take the tax cut away from them, and they did not raise taxes, so that's probably okay. Milton, as I mentioned the other day, raised taxes 40%, 43%. Now, they did it because they saw an opportunity with the MSTU for the sheriff going away, the two mills going away to the county, and they thought, well, we can just raise our taxes by a mill. Okay, so what's the sound that you hear at your door? Doge here. That's what's coming. No, but here's the thing. That's one side of the story. That's one side of the equation, okay? What I think is fascinating is the clip that has gotten so much attention. And what did I say yesterday? I said, it doesn't look to me like they're showing their work. It looks to me like they're making exaggerated claims based on tiny spending items that are captivating and emotional. And I'm just not convinced yet. And since they keep refusing to show their work, it makes me even more suspicious. And when they're less than fully honest and clear in the way they're saying things, it makes me even more skeptical. And then Blazing Golia had the clip that has been played the most on local media.
On the other end of our state, the city of Pensacola, they paid almost $600,000 for a large neon Welcome to Pensacola sign. Maybe it should say Welcome to Wasteful Spending.
Or maybe it should say Welcome to Learn How to Read the Books, dear CFO, because there's been news since yesterday. 437-1620. I'll come back to that in a second. And let me tell you, I don't really know a lot about Blazing Golia. I don't have an opinion about him. I don't have a lot of sound clips in my archive from him, so he's not somebody that carries a big presence in my brain for what's been going on in Tallahassee. But based on this one showing, I'm not impressed yet. And I'll tell you why in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
You left me hanging. All right, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing some minor construction delays there. Also, Avalon Boulevard southbound as you approach I-10, seeing a couple of minute delay in that area. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. You know, back in 1969, Robert Peden started his company that today is all across the Gulf Coast and does all kinds of services, plumbing, electrical, heating, air conditioning. Back then, he just wanted to not be so hot in the summer in Pensacola, so he learned how to do HVAC, and he did it for himself, for his friends, for his family, built a company, and over all of these intervening years, they've grown both in services and in service region. I mean, really, the entire Gulf Coast. Everything in the central time zone they cover, everywhere from Mobile all the way to Tallahassee. So if you need work done, good quality work, good quality products, trained professionals, 100, you know, they will stand by their work with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. They're your people. Now, at Peden right now, when you choose the repair that their pros recommend, you know, you bring somebody out, there's going to be a fee to bring them out, okay? If you go with the repair they recommend, they'll waive that dispatch fee, you know, basically roll it into off of the price of the thing. Plus, you'll get a full year of SmartCare membership for free. So pretty good. They'll stay, you know, following up any kind of service you need, whatever. Call or book online. Find out more information at Peden, PEADEN.com. Okay, back to Blazing Golia and the news since yesterday. Do you remember yesterday when I played this clip about the welcome sign? And what did I say? Number one, I said, I like the sign. I think it's dumb to criticize it. Some things are aesthetic things and they cost money and it's worth having aesthetic things. I don't get why we're going to end the landscaping budget because that's just, you know, trees trimmed and, you know, bushes trimmed. He made fun in one part about counting trees. A tree survey is a perfectly appropriate thing to do so you know what you've got and know how to plan, especially around a tree replanting fund. Like, it wasn't us he was making fun of, but I'm like, bro, do you even understand what this is about? Like, I don't, it's weird things they've seized on as their examples, okay? So that was one part. And the second part was I said, you know, I thought that the sign was actually funded not by us, but funded by the state. I thought that was part of the deal with the bridge. Well, in the intervening day, you know, Rick Outson has done some work on this, and good for him. And the Pensacola City has released a document. The public information officer put out a letter yesterday. The governor, the mayor and the city council are not commenting, and State Rep. Alexander Andrade is not commenting yet because nobody has the report, so nobody knows what to respond to. At this moment, it's all smoke and PR, which is the problem. But if you read the letter that Jason Wheeler, that's the PIO for the city, put out yesterday, it's pretty good detail. One of the things that they are arguing about is the Sanger Theater and a management contract, which they make it seem like we've spent $150,000 to bring a drag show here. No, we spent $150,000 for a management company to bring all the shows that happen to include a drag show. Oh, and by the way, every single year, the Sanger Theater revenue generates for the city. $140,000 in 22, $205,000 in 23, $400,000 in 24, and $250,000 so far, plus another $75,000 expected this year. So it's not that the city is spending money on the Sanger. In fact, the acts are revenue generating for the city. So, okay, you know, maybe take that complaint and go somewhere else with it. Also, they didn't ask about the Sanger Theater when they were here. This was added after the fact. So when the Doge team was here, they didn't even think that it had become a controversy, and so they're piling on. The equitable development value strategic plan stuff, that's not inaccurate, but it is a small portion of the overall Hollis T. Williams Stormwater Project, a many millions of dollars, like a tens of millions of dollars project. And this was designed to make sure that we're doing things well in an area that has been historically disadvantaged by the splitting up of these communities through the building of I-110. I don't have a problem with that one. It's $300,000 altogether. And then the welcome sign. This is the most amazing one of all. Because the allegation, the rumor, I haven't heard it from official sources, but I've kind of heard people talking, that the Doge team is highly unskilled, untrained, young people coming to town and don't know what they're doing. And basically wind up having to get taught by us how to read the data that they're interpreting. Meaning it's not a bunch of audit professionals coming to town to find information. It looks more like a pretext for political action and a dog and pony show like we're getting now from the governor and the CFO. Is what it looks like. Now, we could be wrong. Could come out with a very comprehensive report. We don't know because we don't have it. But I will say that based on the fact that it turns out that FDOT of the $600,000 themselves funded $470,000 of it, and federal money from ARPA was the $185,000 of it, so that money wasn't paid for at all out of general revenue, that the welcome sign, as Blazing Goalie described it as the welcome to wasteful spending, was actually you guys and not us. Because remember when they tore down the old Five Flags welcome area and they had to use it as a laydown area for the roundabout and the bridge design? And then afterwards, FDOT said, well, you know, what do you want? And some of us said, well, just give us the old thing back. And nope, that wasn't going to happen. So they designed the sign, had the contest for the design, and then they FDOT and ARPA built the sign. And then the CFO's people, who are apparently so bad at reading a budget that they didn't realize that was paid for by themselves. Oops! Will there be an apology? John, should we hold our breath?
You shouldn't hold your breath on that one.
Okay. All right. So, yeah.
See, that's what they did was they just saw big numbers and started circling it.
Mm-hmm. They saw incendiary examples. We're going to go have a press conference mm-hmm. and a friendly audience. And by the way, you know what you do? If you're really trying to do a thorough, actual report and audit, which, by the way, don't all these organizations have internal controls and audits all the time on all kinds of stuff? Plus, you know, local people, we have to vote for them or not vote for them, which is the ultimate audit. But okay, you know, put all that aside. If you're doing this kind of a report, don't you release the sections of it to the people that you're reporting on first so that they can check it, validate it, make sure you've got your information right, respond if they have a response? Wouldn't that be the fair, smart thing to do? Well, they obviously haven't done that because nobody here has seen the report. And if they had done that, they might not have stepped in it so bad on the sign comment. 7:22 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
What is the one thing God will not forgive? After all, the Bible plainly explains that if we seek God's forgiveness, He will forgive sins such as lust, lying, and even murder. But the one sin that God will not forgive is the sin of unbelief. To refuse to believe in Jesus' virgin birth, or His sinless life, or His substitutionary death, or His resurrection from the dead, or to refuse to believe anything that the Scripture declares about Jesus is to consign your own soul to an eternal hell. The good news of the gospel is a message of forgiveness of sin. But again, the one sin that God will not forgive is unbelief. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved."
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
You depend on your vehicle, and you need a good auto shop to depend on as well. That shop is A1 Auto and Diesel Repair. And due to customer demand, they've had to move to a larger shop now on Beverly Parkway. They offer low rates, great warranties on all of their work, free vehicle inspections, and they even offer financing. Their fully certified mechanics will take great care of your regular or diesel vehicle. Call 850-285-0958. A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, 403 Beverly Parkway, Pensacola.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30. with me, Eldon Sky, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sonny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Sky, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:25 here on News Radio 92.3. Somebody says, so do you really believe that it's only messed up here and that it's good elsewhere in the state? No, I think it's all messed up everywhere. Every other area is pushing back similarly, and their sort of preemptive strike is, well, that's a bunch of tax and spend liberals or liberal media people who don't understand any of these things. It's not real serious. Or you guys are just completely wrong, and it's all just PR nonsense. Let's see. Dave Greenwood is Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. We'll get him in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. If you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 7 to 9 minute delay in that area. Let's see here. Highway 90 is looking good. 29 is just some minor slowdowns as you approach 9 Mile Road. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Oh, somebody else just texted me and said, you know, that press conference they had to release the Doge findings would have probably been enough savings just to pay for the Sanger management fee.
Oh. Ouch. Wow.
All right. Dave Greenwood is our Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. Dave, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday to you. How are things looking at the beach this weekend?
Blustery and windy.
All right. Is that affecting safety at all, or is it just, you know, what we're experiencing on the surface when our tents blow away?
Well, the tents could blow away, and that affects safety.
That's true.
Anytime we've got wind on the Gulf, you know, you're going to have surf, and we've got surf. We've got red flag flying today, and it'll be that way throughout the weekend, we anticipate. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, we've got some events planned out here on the beach, and they had to adjust to this. To the weather, you know, the weather's always a big X factor. You never know what's going to happen.
No, that's for sure. I noticed it last night. We're on our walk. I'm like, what wind is that? That seems like a lot. And you're seeing it more this weekend on the beach. We've got that, you know, front and that system and all of these things kind of, you know, working in the background. Anything other that you want else you want us to know either about the past week activities by your lifeguards are coming up?
It's been fairly quiet this past week, I will say the next weekend is our last weekend sitting in the towers.
Okay, so if
we'll
you
have
want
the towers off the beach.
So if you want to go under the watchful supervision of the highly trained professional lifeguards that Dave Greenwood supervises, go this weekend or next weekend. But do be aware we have red flags flying in the Gulf expected this weekend. Maybe it'll be a little bit calmer next weekend, but you know you never know. And as always, Dave, you always say the Gulf always has risk,
yes.
Right?
And of course. Have a good weekend, Andrew, and I'll talk to you next Friday. Friday will be our last time talking for 2025.
Right, but we will always keep people informed about the lifeguard tryouts and any other news that comes from the beach because you guys are so great at communicating information to us. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you next week, Dave. Thanks for keeping us safe and making sure that our beaches are safe for the tourists. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew. Have a good weekend.
You too. 7:27 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
And good morning, Andrew. The White House downplaying President Trump's claim that the U.S. is in armed conflict with drug cartels. He made that comment in a memo this week to several congressional committees after the U.S. conducted strikes on alleged drug smugglers in the Caribbean Sea. Yesterday, the White House insisted that the president acted in line with the law.
You know, this is actually really interesting. We've been talking about this off and on ever since he started destroying these boats. First of all, it indicates a felt need by the White House to do something that they can't just continue destroying boats willy-nilly. And that's interesting that they have recognized there's a need to explain to Congress what they're doing. Also, it's a good question. Like, if you wage war against terror networks like Al-Qaeda, can you wage war against a drug cartel, which is arguably a terror network that's not a state actor, right? And, you know, could you start talking about, like, the theory behind the Afghanistan invasion was failed states that foster terrorism by allowing them to train in there. Could you have that similar level of pretext when you're talking about cartel operations, which has been kind of this, like, back burner rumored agenda for, you know, decades, is what do we do with these countries that allow cartels to operate and sell to us? So we're in really interesting territory with regards to the military and, you know, counter cartel operations. So it's a very interesting move. Sorry, David, go ahead.
Well, Sean Diddy Combs making a last-minute plea for leniency before he's sentenced later today in a letter sent to the New York judge that oversaw the case. Combs says he's a changed man. He ended the letter by asking for a second chance to lead a better life. And no monthly jobs report being released today due to the government shutdown. The Bureau of Labor Statistics is off work.
I know the people who make the jobs report aren't doing their job. It's kind of weird, but you know, government shutdowns are like that. All right, so
that's really all I got.
Perfect.
I got no more info. There's no jobs report to talk about.
Nobody's working, so we can't talk about anything. Gulf Islands National Seashore is closed. Johnson Beach is closed. Fort Pickens is closed. They made that decision yesterday. They finally boarded up and said, go away. Also, the Blue Angels are not flying. They're not doing any of their air shows until the government shutdown ends. They're not practicing until the government shutdown ends. So, you know, we're starting to see the follow-on effects because a lot of these agencies and organizations didn't know what to do in the first day. And now they're kind of getting guidance. And so, yeah, you know, things are shutting down. And there are, 20 or so thousand federal workers here in the Northwest Florida, something like, I thought I saw a number like that. So this is not some invisible thing. This is, you know, real live people's real life jobs are, you know, being highly affected.
Pelosi, the government shutdown moves into a third day with a potential vote to end the standoff today. President Trump warning on Truth Social of federal funding cuts and layoffs, calling Budget Director Russ Vogt the Reaper.
Yesterday, President Trump met with OMB Director Russell Vogt to go over these layoff plans, which reportedly, according to the Washington Post, involve firing about 16,000 federal workers.
That's Fox's Jackie Heinrich. Manchester police revealing the suspect who killed two people and seriously injured four others outside a UK synagogue was shot and killed by police on the scene and had what appeared to be an explosive device on his body.
A man rammed a car into worshippers outside, then got out and stabbed more with a knife. He tried to get inside the synagogue, but the door was barricaded.
That's Fox's Greg Palcott. It's now being investigated as a terror incident. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got a beautiful morning, 68 degrees with partly cloudy skies. And of course, we'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Well, the city of Pensacola firing back at state claims of wasteful spending from the state. Yesterday, Florida's chief financial officer, Blazing Golia, accusing Pensacola of overtaxing residents and criticizing the city's spending on various projects like the Welcome to Pensacola sign. However, city budget documents do clarify most of the funding for that sign came from state and federal sources. Additional expenditures, including $300,000 for an equity-focused strategic plan and some money for the Sanger Theater Management Company, have also drawn scrutiny from the state. But the city says those are all part of broader community engagement efforts. The city also says they've actually profited over $1 million from the Sanger in recent years. City officials say they have not received the official DOGE report from the state. Well, Royal Caribbean Serenade of the Seas is back out at sea after pulling out of Port Miami yesterday. They've got roughly 100 people on board that are currently suffering from norovirus.
I started feeling really funny in my stomach, and it only lasted like, 36 to 48 hours.
The sick on that cruise were asked to stay in their rooms. Other passengers said really the only difference they've noticed is increased sanitation protocols. That cruise has been going on since September 19th in San Diego. It is now bound for Panama. Popular convenience store chain Wawa is opening its third Pensacola store here in just about an hour. The store on North Davis Highway Scheduled to open with a ribbon cutting this morning. The event will feature local police and fire representatives competing in a Hoagies for Heroes sandwich building contest. They'll also have free coffee today and through October 5th. Wawa plans to continue their panhandle expansion. They've got 20 to 25 new stores projected in the coming years. Now, placing a toll on the Navarre Beach Bridge could bring in potentially between $2.7 to $4.2 million in revenues. Santa Rosa County commissioners will be learning more about that next week when Jacobs Engineering presents the results of their toll rate study. The introduction of a toll has been met with a lot of opposition, coming mostly from people who live on Navarre Beach or work there. UWF has received a couple of grants, including a three-year $400,000 NSF grant to establish an Office of Industrial Innovation that it would serve as a single contact point for companies and civic groups and expand paid research roles for students. They've also received a $1.5 million grant from the Department of Education to expand their Summer Institute for Civic Educators. The grant would allow the university to transform the Summer Institute into the Academy of Civic Republicanism, giving K-12 teachers, university students, and members of the community the chance to receive a better civic education. It's 7:35 here at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Seeing about a 7 to 9 minute delay. Let's see here. Highway 90 coming into Pensacola looks good. You're going to see minor delays on 29 southbound headed toward 9 Mile. I'd say about a 5 to 7 minute delay just in that area. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
Temperatures are going to warm up today near 82 degrees with a 10% chance of a stray shower. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies with the winds coming out of the east-northeast at 15 to 20 miles an hour. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Keeping the windy weather around on Saturday, 20% chance of a stray sprinkle. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies, high near 82. Winds still out of the east-northeast at about 20 miles an hour. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
70 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Pensacola Hardware has been serving the city's general contractors and tradesmen for 174 years. We very much appreciate our customers and are thankful to be one of the only brick and mortar businesses in downtown Pensacola to always offer plenty of free parking. We focus on the commercial construction trades and specialize in architectural and engineer specified products. Whether you're an engineer, project manager, purchasing agent, or subcontractor, Pensacola Hardware is your best local source for construction supplies and exceptional product knowledge.
Hey, listen to this. All I needed was a new starter. Got a great deal on eBay. Did it myself.
Yeah, that's cool. But how about the soft purr of an upgraded exhaust when it fits just right?
For me, it's the little things, like these new windshield wipers from eBay I installed. Small fixes to big upgrades. eBay has all the parts you need at prices you'll love, guaranteed to fit every time. eBay, things people love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Take advantage of the free document shredding event Saturday morning from 8 till 11 at the Pensacola Interstate Fairgrounds. Get more at newsradio923.com. The License to Thrill charity date auction is Saturday evening at the Hilton Pensacola Beach. Proceeds benefit Valerie's House and A Hope of Milton. More info at crewofpensacolabells.com. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Well, life on a farm, I kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. She
say.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
Yes, indeed. It is the first Friday of the month, therefore it is our time to talk with our good friend Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida, and find out how life's going for the farmers who make up such a tremendous portion of our economy that most of us, unless we drive north, don't ever even see, let alone think much about. But, you know, basically north of I-10, this is their town. Ryan Jenkins, welcome back, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Great. Great to have you. So last time we checked in with you, you were just beginning peanut harvest. We were concerned about whether there'd be enough moisture in the ground to facilitate that, because if it's dry, you tear up your blades digging in there. And, you know, we want some moisture, not too much. It has to do with the ability to harvest, the quality of the peanuts, all that stuff. So how's it looking?
Well, as soon as I get off the phone, I'm going to get under the peanut digger and change digger blades.
Again? Yeah, it's been pretty dry, right?
Yeah, but it's dry. But, you know, what was it? A week ago or so, last week or 10 days ago, you know, we had kind of some rain in the area, and it did, you know, it fell on some places and didn't fall as much on others, but it really did help us out a lot, which we've pretty much lost that moisture now, but it allowed us to work pretty hard there for a few days, and we're still able to run in most places, you know, and then there's a chance of rain coming back in Sunday and Monday, I think. So. Yeah. You know, we've had just enough to keep us going, and I would say all in all, it's been pretty good so far. The yields are pretty good. Not a bumper crop, but they're pretty good. The grades, which you always worry about, you never know until the graders actually go through the process of grading them. You just never know all year long what kind of grades you're going to have. And they grade you on so many different things. And that really highly affects the amount of money you get paid. So you could have a bumper crop as far as yield and the grades be bad, and it would be a total disaster. So you're always worried about those. And they've been, you know, average or so this year. So something we can definitely deal with. And we're very thankful for that.
Yeah, on the rain question, I believe I even called you and asked you whether the rain we were getting in the south part of the county was doing enough of a job to loosen up your nuts, and you said it wasn't. You weren't sure yet.
they were not loose when you checked, I can tell you.
Well, you know,
it was still very dry, even though. But that's a perfect example. You know, people, wherever you're at, you think if it's raining there, it's raining everywhere. If it's storming there, everybody's
right.
Getting a bad storm. It's just not the case. You know, it'd be when you said that, it was literally sunshining and dry as it could be where I was at.
And we'd gotten pounding rain at my house. And also, John wants me to apologize to you for having to be friends with such a smart alecky juvenile of a talk show host. That's me.
I understand.
We like to have fun. I mean, you know. But, you know, you made this comment about the quality, getting the grades of the peanuts. Is it like anything can happen? You can have high yield, high grade. You can have high yield, low grade, low yield, low grade, low yield, high grade. Like, all the possibilities are there, and you really don't know until you start pulling them up?
Absolutely. It happens, happens all the time. That's what I'm saying. You just work so hard, and then, I don't know, I probably shouldn't say that. I think there's some subjectivity to the grading process, really. Oh. It's not computerized. It's hand done. And I firmly believe I could take a sample from one buying point to the next. You're not supposed to be able to, but I firmly believe I could take it to three different places and get three different grades.
Oh.
So, and it affects your money greatly, I'm telling you. You can go from making whatever your contract price is, like this year, a lot of it's $500 and $525 a ton to literally making $150 a ton.
Wow, man. It's horrible to feel like not only is the outcome uncertain, but the outcome fact can be affected so much by the interpretation and the grading process. There's so many frustrations with that. I just don't know how you do it. I'm amazed. That's why I love talking to you, because it's a reminder of how much what we do depends on what you do. So we're looking at, I mean, what did you say? You said it's, the grading has been okay. The volume, the yield has been okay also?
Yeah, I would say we're in a average to probably just a hair above average year, maybe.
How much more? We've done
out of 1,300 or so acres that we'll pick, we've probably picked about 350 or 400 somewhere.
I
don't know what day of the week it is.
You're still really in the thick of it. I mean, you're only about a quarter done or something like that. You got a long way to go.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. All right.
We just need some good weather, some favorable weather, and if it'll keep going like it's going, we're going to be all right. But anyway, you know, there's always something to throw a wrench into things.
Speaking of that, you may have heard we have a government shutdown, and I never know how much that might affect you. I mean, but has the government shutdown, now day three, affected? Will it affect farming if it continues?
It does, and it's very complicated, and I probably will have everybody thoroughly confused and screwed up, but I can try to tell you how it affects us, and it affects us getting paid. And you know what? Shame on me for not looking up the technical term of what it's called, but it's through the USDA. The way that farmers get paid for their commodities, they have, and I think it's called the Marketing Assistance Program. Anyway, we call it loan. I mean, that's what it is, the loan program. So typically, when you harvest your commodities, whatever it is, at harvest times, lowest price you'll get paid that year because there's such an influx of whatever your commodity is into the market.
Supply drives down the price.
Right. You've been waiting all year for peanuts, and now they're here, and everybody in the northern hemisphere is picking peanuts right now that grows them. So there's a large amount that goes into the pipeline, so your price is low. So the government has a program. Like for peanuts currently, the loan price is $355 a ton. So when you harvest your peanuts, you can put them, we call it putting them into the loan. You can put them into the loan using your commodity as collateral. This is a government program. They pay us $355 a ton, and we have until July of next year to redeem them out of the loan if we want to. So everybody, the major peanut buyers, everybody's peanuts goes into the loan at harvest time, and then you redeem them out throughout the year excuse me, as needed. So out of that $500 I was talking about a while ago that we're getting paid per ton for our peanuts this year, $355 of that is government money for right now.
Okay.
So with them being closed, we've been sitting here waiting all year for some money to start flowing and coming in instead of going out. And now you see what I'm saying?
You have no government cash flow because that program is currently inoperable because the government shutdown means that people aren't working it.
Correct.
Ugh.
So out of $500 that we would be getting, and the $500, you know, we have
Ryan, hang on for just a second. I hate to interrupt you, but I do want to get a quick traffic break because we're way past time, but hold on just a second. Right. Go ahead, John.
No accidents to report to you right now. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. It's about a 7 to 9 minute construction delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. So back to Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. So government shutdown in December wouldn't matter a whole lot for you. Government shutdown in March wouldn't matter a whole lot. But government shutdown at peanut harvesting time, where you're putting the peanuts into this loan program that the government operates and nobody's operating that program when you've been expecting that money to come in, is kind of a big deal. Is that what I hear you saying?
Amen. It's a real big deal.
Good Lord.
It's just like the rest of farming.
Yeah.
You don't know when they're going to open back up and when you're going, what kind of backlog there's going to be and when you are going to get your money. But it's, you know, out of $500, you don't get all that $500. The grading we were talking about has to be paid for, drying, cleaning, all that comes out of that. So that's usually about $50 a ton that's gone there. So now we're down to $450. We were going to get $355 for the government, so we're not even going to get $100 a ton for our peanuts right now until the government opens back up.
Okay, wow. So, and unprecedented duration of a shutdown, right, at exactly the wrong time. So, oh, wow. All right. Well, I not to, like, pile on the woes, because, I mean, otherwise farming is so easy, right, except for this one little thing that's that's a problem.
I think everybody should try it. Yeah.
I had asked you before about tariffs. I assume we're still seeing the same challenges because of tariffs and, you know, not being able to export things and the difficulty of import something. But, I mean, tariffs are still making things hard for you guys, or have you adapted to that, or is it too soon to tell?
No, it's about to kill us. There's no adapting to it. We're literally dying before your eyes. We might not have a radio show this time next year. I mean, it's that serious. It's affected our prices so much, whether it's from the input side or for our commodity prices, that it's for real. It's not a joke. And political, non-political, whatever you want to say, it is really, really hurting agriculture right now. I would say probably as much as anybody in the economy.
Hey, there was a you know, rumor, or maybe the possibility, that tariff revenue, which is massive, would be distributed to farmers as a way of, you know, defraying the pain a little bit. Has any of that even come close to happening?
No, and that's the thing. You know how government moves at a snail's pace on things like that. It's basically now or never for so many people, so many farmers. Everybody is leveraged as far as they can possibly be leveraged. Excuse me. There's nothing left to go get a loan with. I'm telling you, the American farmer is in terrible, terrible trouble. And I'm not just trying to get attention. I'm not trying to, you know, you ask me and I'm telling you, and it's that bad.
You know, I want to, for people who might not have ever heard you talk with me before, let me say, we've been talking to Ryan now for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, something like that. And Ryan is a man of faith. He's a man of optimism. He's a man who jokes around. He's, you know, farming is always difficult, okay? But he is always sincerely, he loves what he does. He loves farming. He believes in it, and he's an advocate for it. And I'll just tell you, to hear him talk like, if you're hearing him for the first time, you're thinking, oh, this guy, you know. No. This is, I've never heard you talk like this before. Not ever. Not one time. And so you have me really concerned for you. What can people do? I mean, I feel like this is you're begging for help, but is there anything we can do? I mean, we'll pray. You know, we'll pray, and that matters. Sure, but yeah. I talked to our congressman on Monday. I'll bring this up with him. But, you know, what do you want us to do? Anything?
I don't know the answer. We've just got to be paid a fair price for what we're raising for our commodities, and we've got to pay a fair price for all of our inputs.
Yeah.
Everybody in the whole deal can change what they're doing, but we cannot. And we can't out-yield this problem, meaning I can't go out there and make my peanuts that usually make 5,000 or 6,000 pounds an acre make 10,000 pounds an acre overnight. I mean, we're already there. You know, we're as efficient as we know how to be. I don't know how to cut anything else from my farm, and I don't know how to get a better price for anything I grow on my farm.
Yeah.
So I don't have an answer. Some of it's just going to be, you know, just like this tariff deal. If it'll ever get straightened out, that'll be fine. But it's right now, it is literally killing us at a time where we weren't in a good position to start this battle. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You were already lots of stresses already. Yeah.
We've had a tough last 5 years, really. It's been bad, but I love what I do.
I know you do.
I'm the luckiest, most blessed man you'll ever meet. There's nothing else on the face of the earth I want to do besides farm. I'm so glad that God put me in these shoes and gave me the ability and the knowledge and the wherewithal to withstand a lot of this stuff. And I just hope that we can continue doing it. You know,
yeah.
It's tough. You don't want to work for free or pay to work every year.
Yeah.
No matter how much you like it.
And I know you do. I cherish those words because I know that's true. But for you to be talking about Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms, not might not be in business next year, like we're in that kind of a position. I mean, I'm a little freaked out for you, you know, and for you're not. It's
well,
not just
Ryan
you.
Ryan Jenkins will more than likely be in business next year. I'm saying, you know, there are many others just like me.
Yeah.
That are not. You know, it's just kind of how the ball falls. Some people will and some people won't, but it's not from mismanagement or poor decisions or anything like that. It's just from the way things have gone.
The squeeze. Yeah.
In opposition of the farmer.
Wow. Well, we always like to end with a farm fact. I know you have one for me this week, Ryan. What's it about?
I do. So it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And, you know, on our farm, we'll start picking cotton. By the time we talk next time, we will have picked some cotton, the good Lord willing. And we use pink wrap in the in the month of October to bring awareness to breast cancer. But the farming fun fact is peanuts. And we've talked a little bit about it before on here. But a 2015 study found that consuming peanuts frequently reduced the risk of breast cancer 2 to 3 times the amount of people that did not consume peanuts.
Hmm. Interesting. And well, so we always say eat more peanuts,
more
so go ahead.
One more. So when I was looking up that fact, I found another one, and I couldn't hardly believe how much it reduced this one. Eating peanuts 1 to 3 times per week reduced esophageal cancer risk by 38%, and eating them 4 or more times per week lowers the risk by 70%. Those are big numbers.
Yeah, that's a significant reduction.
People need to eat more peanuts.
They do.
For a lot of reasons.
You know, I have the dry roasted peanuts in my pantry, and whenever I'm just hungry for a little something, it's a handful of peanuts. So I'm always doing my best to help you. I'm always doing my best.
And I appreciate it.
Oh, man. Well, Ryan Jenkins, he is the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, you know, I mean, sincerely, thank you so much for what you do, for bringing awareness to us to, you know, what's really happening to farmers in America. You know, as sobering and painful as it is, I'm glad to know, because at least we can pray for you. And maybe politically this brings a little bit of movement to something that helps. I sure hope so. Thank you for what you do. Thanks for what your family does. And I appreciate you putting, you know, clothes on my kids' back and food on their table, man.
Thank you for having us. And one more thing, if you find yourself up in the north end of these counties in the next couple of months, I know we have a lot of people visiting and doing agritourism stuff. Watch out for us. There's a lot of tractors and heavy equipment going up and down the road. And we've already had one accident this past week. So just be on the lookout for us. We're trying our hardest.
It's okay to go a little slower for a little while for the people who are making your life possible. Ryan, thanks so much for the time,
Absolutely.
Sir. We'll talk to you next month.
Y'all have a good weekend.
Yes, sir. Let's see. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you. I-10 eastbound is actually going back to normal now. Not seeing any delays on that or westbound. Let's see here. Highway 29, 90. They're all looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
State in Miami will square off in a classic college football showdown Saturday night in Tallahassee on the Seminole Sports Network, presented by Wolfson Children's Hospital.
Tomorrow, it's the Florida State Seminoles versus the Miami Hurricanes. Pre-game is at 4:30 on your home for FSU football. News Radio 92.3.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather, color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games?
Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app.
Tap that app
to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
You're still here?
It's over. Go home. Go.
People dream high in the quiet of the night. You know that I caught it. Bad, bad boy, shiny toy with a price. You know that I bought it.
I know it's not the new music, but it's something. New album release day. Was this 12th album for her?
Oh, I have no clue.
15th? 4th? I don't know. Anyway.
I'll go with your number.
Somebody's going to get on me. It's all right.
I know.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Trying to get back to my page here. President Trump vowing to lay off federal employees if the government shutdown continues. Of course, on day three of the partial shutdown, now Democrats showing no signs of budging over their demands on health care funding. Yesterday, President Trump did say he was going to use the shutdown to decide which agencies would be closed.
All right, very good. Coming up next hour, the Transgressors Memorial Service. Find out why Maxwell Apartment Coffee exists.
Stream us at NewsRadio923.com. NewsRadio923.